Welcome to another in a continuing series of Tecmatalk podcasts, where experts discuss manufacturing in Mexico and related topics.
Hello, welcome to another in a continuing series of podcasts put out by the Tecma Group of Companies. Today we are fortunate enough to have with us Mike Tracy. Mike is the principal or the CEO of a company called the Agile Group, which is in Michigan. And the group works as a consultancy in the automotive, aerospace, and other large and heavy industries. Mike, how are you today?
I'm doing well, and how are you today, Steve?
Just fine. I'm glad you could join us. Maybe you could tell a little bit up front about, although we're going to speak about the automotive industry today in particular, you could tell us a little bit about yourself, your company, and what you're involved in.
Well, the Agile Group specializes in large-scale program management for manufacturing programs and operations improvement, automotive, aerospace, and heavy equipment with OEMs as well as with suppliers. And we work worldwide, including Europe, Asia, and, of course, throughout the NAFTA region.
Well, thanks for giving us that little bit of a synopsis of what it is that you do. Essentially, though, today what we're here to talk about for a few minutes is what's going on in the automotive industry in Mexico. Over the last few years, really it's been a fluid and dynamic situation with respect to the amount of investment that has made its way into the country, and we're going to talk a little bit about that. I've got a few questions for you, if you'd be kind enough to give us a little bit of information from your perspective, Mike.
Be glad to. Why don't you proceed?
Okay. There's quite a number of new automotive assembly plants being built in Mexico, and even more are being discussed these days. Can you tell us a little bit about what's behind this movement and what's driving this?
And there are probably four principal factors involved. First, as the North American industry and actually the worldwide industry has emerged from what we refer to as the Great Recession, there was a great deal of obsolete assembly capacity closed, and the gap between capacity and what was to be produced shrank greatly. As the markets have turned back up towards what we'll call historical trends, there is a need for greater capacity to serve not only the NAFTA region, but Mexico has secured itself an interesting spot through their free trade agreements that they have with the European Free Trade Association and then also Japan, and then the opportunities that are presented over the long term with the nominal automotive free trade that has been occurring with Brazil, and potentially also then future free trade agreements that they're working on with South Korea. Add in Mexico's highly competitive position from a cost perspective, and Mexico, for both automotive OEMs and for suppliers, is actually far more attractive, particularly for serving NAFTA and, in most respects, the European Union, than what people used to think of as building in China.
So essentially what you're saying is that, some capacity that was not utilized during the recession, when things did perk up again, that was a nice chance to be able to upgrade facilities, and Mexico is a place where people have gone to do that. Would that be a correct assumption?
That is one key element behind it. And so you have people who are looking to grow their not only North American share, but also future growth in exports to Brazil and in the European Union, are finding Mexico to be a very desirable place to set up those assembly plants. That's where you have Honda, with a plant that's opening in Celaya in 2014. You have Mazda in Salamanca that's opening in 2014. Audi is just kicking off construction of a new plant in San Jose, Chiapa, which is near Puebla. And then Nissan is doing essentially a doubling of their capacity in Aguascalientes. Plus, you've got BMW, Hyundai, all in additional discussions. and Toyota making many noises about wanting to go to Mexico, partially driven by the fact that they're going to, at least for a few years, buy some of the output of the Mazda plant, that's likely to then require them to need a new plant, say, within the next, announcing that within the next year or two.
So it's pretty safe to say that in terms of the auto industry, Mexico is booming.
Yes, I mean, even Fiat Chrysler, who's notoriously poor, has got the new van plant that they just opened up in the Saltillo area with the rest of their manufacturing complex. So, yeah, it's a very safe thing to understand that the OEMs have identified Mexico as the key location in North America to expand.
Now, obviously, that's one side of the coin. Another side of the coin is the supply base. What do you see happening with the suppliers that serve the companies that you just mentioned in terms of their reaction to the movement that's taking place?
There are two things that go with that. The first rule of automotive supply is that you have plants near where your customers have plants. So there is a natural need to grow supplier plants, particularly those that normally would supply just-in-time, parts that are very large in size and that don't ship well, such as stamped panels or certain types of moldings and interior parts. And then also, because of these free trade agreements, including the one that Mexico has with Japan, has an opportunity to actually export automobile parts to other locations in competition with China.
So you're saying it's a great platform from which to ship many places duty-free because of the network that Mexico has built of free trade work, free trade agreements since signing NAFTA in 1994. Would that be a correct assumption as well?
It'd be pretty good in the sense that it's not necessarily fully duty-free. I mean, but what you have is where there are still duties, they're significantly reduced from what countries that do not have trade agreements wind up having to pay in terms of duties when they export parts to these other countries or cars.
So there's cost savings, obviously, in labor as well as in duties once the products are shipped. So that makes them more competitive globally. Would that be
absolutely?
Okay.
And Mexico now, is highly competitive.
Obviously, there's some geography involved here. Where in Mexico is most of what we're talking about and what's happened over the last several years and about to happen in 2014, as you just mentioned, where's most of this activity occurring?
Well, what you're looking at is in the past there was significant activities from the supplier side up near the U.S. border and then certainly much construction in the Saltillo, Ramos Arizpe area. But this is now tending down further to the interior in a broad arc ranging in the couple hundred mile radius outside of Mexico City from the northwest down to the southeast. And you see a large growth in those activities. And that's also, interestingly enough, in that same arc is where you're seeing the growth in the aerospace industry that's taking place in Mexico as well.
So I'm guessing that given what it is that you do in terms of your projects management, you're working with some companies in both industries in that geography.
That would be correct. We've been down there, and it's a very interesting area and a very good location to do these types of activities.
Now, what are key issues that you see that companies that go to Mexico as suppliers to the automotive industry face?
I mean, there are traditionally, and in this case, Mexico is not different, issues in areas where you're having growth, significant issues with what we'll call infrastructure, and that's the availability and reliability of basic utilities, in particular, electricity, natural gas, and then the appropriate amounts of water that would be required in the processes. And then the transportation infrastructure that allows for smooth and efficient transportation within, you know, from suppliers to the customer plants, and then for customers to ship their finished products as well. This is also then...
So basically you're saying some of the infrastructure has to catch up with the increase in activity.
Yeah, the infrastructure has to catch up. I mean, you're basically putting in place large-scale manufacturing where there has been none. And you have also the need to obtain qualified staff. You know, mm-hmm. the industries we're talking about are not just labor only. You need skilled technicians for the automation and controls and systems that are required to produce these modern, technically advanced products. So you have that as another significant issue in terms of overcoming the infrastructure questions. And then the last area that one has to consider, too, is not just the transportation infrastructure, but then also the all the rest of the supporting company infrastructure that have to support an endeavor. Equipment suppliers, maintenance from those suppliers, actual transportation companies, trucking and other, that all have the capability to support you. Because you don't want to be in a position where you have to do everything yourself. You want to be able to rely on your own supply base.
Yeah, and obviously companies go to a country to actually manufacture. So if they can ally themselves with parties and partners that know the lay of the land, that can help them through some of the issues that are non-manufacturing related, then obviously that allows them to concentrate on what it is that they're there to do, i.e. make their product.
Yeah, and that story is true the world around the world. So in addition to just then the types of companies that would normally be considered automotive suppliers, you've got to go down through that third tier and the tertiary companies that support those, and you're looking to attract and bring those companies in large volumes to support these activities.
Well, obviously, this getting the supply chain straight is a factor that can either make or break a company. What else would you recommend that automotive suppliers that are moving with this OEM migration take into account in terms of proceeding?
Yeah. There is always then the one issue that has reared its ugly head for Mexico, and that's the security issue, both within your site and for your people, and then for the materials that you transport, and that leads to the problems of getting back and forth across the border to the U.S. in particular. So companies that are going down there have to be cognizant of those issues and make the appropriate plans and arrangements such that they have reliable, safe operations for all their staff, both the locals and those who come in from the customer side and from their other support locations throughout the world.
In Mexico, the experience that most people that I know and myself have had, I haven't actually seen anything, but it has a tendency to exist between people that are involved in the narcotics trade, and it pretty much seems to have limited itself to those that are participants in that narcotics trade. So I don't know what your experience has been, but as far as it affecting industry, I can't think of any case that I know of off the top of my head where that has been an issue.
I believe actually it's almost a regionally differentiated problem. My personal experience in those areas has always been quite good. You have all these large firms that are making very large investments in those areas. So I recognize that just with what we'll call almost even normal planning, things should be fine. You just have to plan for everything and make certain you go forward. Just don't ever enter a situation where it's either the things we talk about or any other things that relate to setting up shop, setting up a plant in a new location. You have to do your due diligence in all areas. Who are the good suppliers? what's the right location in a given area that's better, because you always have that range, and that's true whether you're in the U.S. or Canada or anywhere else. You always have to take a look at those issues.
Well, you know, that is very good advice to give folks. Obviously, you have significant experience being involved with some of this movement that we've discussed over the last few minutes. If somebody would like to contact you to get more information, how would they go about doing that?
Well, usually the best way to get a hold of me is through either a direct phone call, and that can be done with the wonderful telephone number of 517-548-1672, or by email to mtracy, M-T-R-A-C-Y, at agilegroup, agilegroup.com. We always look forward to talking to folks. There are a lot of things that are happening there, and a lot of things to watch over the next couple of years in terms of currency, the results of additional trade negotiations, and then the actual continuing investment patterns of not only the large OEMs, but the very large suppliers are moving aggressively into those areas as well.
Well, thanks, Mike, for joining me, and I'm sure that we'll be speaking in the future, and you'll have more information that'll be of interest to the people that listen to these podcasts.
It's always a pleasure to talk to you, Steve. This is a very interesting area. It's a high-growth area, and growth brings great opportunities for all parties involved.
That's for sure. You have a great day.
Thank you for listening. Sign up to receive all Tecma content through social media and RSS feed. Visit www.tecma.com.